there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
In 1984, workers plowed their shovels into the Lindow Moss, a peat bog outside of Cheshire, England, nearly 200 miles from London. They were digging for peat, a rare type of turf used as fuel. But they discovered more than they expected when they unearthed a dead body.
The deceased appeared to be a man in his mid-20s. He had brown hair and a groomed mustache and beard. He stood at about 5'6" or 5'7". Apart from a fox fur armband, he was completely naked. From the looks of his heavily beaten body, the unidentified man hadn't died of natural causes.
The workers quickly called the police. As investigators looked closer, they determined the body had been hit by a blunt object, leaving his skull fractured.
He'd apparently survived for hours before his throat was slit and a cord was placed around his neck, perhaps to increase the bleeding. The man was sharply kicked, propelling him face first into the bog water.
A few months later, the story took a further twist. Carbon dating showed that the man died between 2 BCE and 119 CE. Close to 2,000 years earlier.
If this man died nearly two millennia before he was discovered, why was the corpse so well preserved? As it turns out, similarly well preserved bodies have been found in similar bogs across the globe and throughout the centuries.
These corpses, now known as bog bodies, are the key to unlocking some of the darkest chapters of ancient history.
Welcome to Unexplained Mysteries, a Parcast original. I'm your host, Molly.
And I'm your host, Richard. In life, there's so much we don't know. But in this show, we don't take we don't know for an answer. Every Thursday, we investigate the greatest mysteries of history and life on Earth. You can find episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Unexplained Mysteries for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Unexplained Mysteries in the search bar.
At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network.
And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help us is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It really does help.
This is our first episode on bog bodies, the mysteriously preserved remains of people who died hundreds, even thousands of years ago.
This week, we'll follow the recent discovery and investigation into these bodies. We'll also follow the discoveries of bog body expert P.V. Glob.
Next week, we'll learn why so many of these ancient people died violently and how, in some cases, these bogs serve as mass grave sites.
Since the 18th century, European peat bogs have yielded hundreds of human bodies. Bog bodies, as they are often called, are human beings who died as far back as 10,000 BCE, or as recently as during World War II. However, most of the bog bodies date between the Iron Age and the later Roman period. That spans from about 700 BCE to 400 CE.
During those times, most dead bodies were disposed of by cremation. However, individuals of higher status were sometimes placed in caskets made of oak and buried with items for their use in the next world. The people who became bog bodies experienced neither of these rituals.
Why were select bodies placed in these marsh-like lands? To better understand bog bodies, we must understand what a bog is.
In northern Europe, bogs are naturally occurring areas found mostly in Denmark, England, Germany, Ireland, and the Netherlands. They're a sort of wetland that has accumulated peat, decayed organic matter that begins to resemble a mineral deposit.
Though it looks like regular dirt to the unsuspecting eye, peat is made mostly of moss. These bogs cannot be cultivated or farmed as peat holds together differently than other kinds of soil. It forms a sponge-like carpet that can be cut into shapes, dried, and then used as fuel. This harvesting and processing of peat has been in practice in northern Europe for generations.
Beyond providing fuel, peat bogs were special places to many local cultures. For some, bogs were seen as extremely sacred, a gateway between the earthly dimension and the other world. Bogs were revered and feared.
From a scientific perspective, peat bogs are highly acidic, similar to vinegar. They contain little oxygen, which creates an inhospitable environment for the kind of bacteria that typically break down flesh, human or otherwise.
These bogs are also rich in sphagnum moss. When this plant dies, it releases sphagnum, which blocks the metabolism of bacteria. This further helps keep organic matter like wood, skin, hair, and fur from decaying.
Therefore, the high acidity, low oxygen levels, and generally colder temperature of northern Europe created the ideal situation for body preservation in natural bogs.
An 1837 Danish almanac noted, "There is a strange power in bog water which prevents decay. Bodies have been found which must have lain in bogs for more than 1,000 years, but which, though admittedly somewhat shrunken and brown, are in other respects unchanged."
The strange power results in a cross between tanning and pickling, and it works on human bodies.
But bogs also often eat away at bones. This leaves some bog bodies with shriveled skeletons. In others, the skeletons are completely missing, which leaves them looking like deflated rubber dolls.
The acids in the bog water also destroy DNA, making it virtually impossible to conduct genetic studies. Despite this loss of genetic material, scientists have been able to study the wealth of data embedded in the soft tissue of the bog bodies.
That forensic data can tell us a lot about who these individuals were before their deaths, including their medical history and social status. For many years, it was assumed that the bog mummification process was accidental, that no one intended for these poor souls' remains to endure for millennia.
But what if the creation of bog bodies was a calculated use of the environment? Could the ancient Europeans have known that bogs would keep corpses intact for thousands of years?
As stated, there is documented evidence of bog bodies uncovered as early as the 18th century. Until the 1840s, The dead were assumed to be recently deceased and given more traditional burials. This repeated mistake underscored just how uniquely well-preserved these bog bodies were.
Among the earliest documented bog bodies was the Ida girl. In May 1897, two peat cutters came upon this body in a bog near Ida in the Netherlands.
At first, the pair was understandably terrified. But it wasn't just the horror of finding a dead girl that frightened them. It was her stunning long red hair. Believing they had seen the devil, the petrified cutters ran away in fear.
Archaeologists excavated the Ida girl's remains little more than 2 weeks later after a story about the shocking discovery ran in a local newspaper.
When they pulled her from the bog, it appeared that she had been strangled by her own woolen belt. She was also stabbed above her left collarbone. She is believed to have been between 14 and 16 years old when she was killed.
The young girl's striking hair measured at approximately 18 inches on one side of her head. On the other side, her scalp appeared to have been sheared. Examiners later determined that the original pigments in her hair were likely blonde. The molecules in the bog had essentially dyed her hair a bright red color.
The Ida girl was eventually moved from her bog grave to the Drents Museum in Assen, the Netherlands. Through extensive examination and CT scans performed in 1992, scientists were able to date her body to between 100 BCE and 50 CE.
Vincent van Wilstren, former curator of archaeology at the Drents Museum, wondered why it was considered necessary to bind, stab, slit the Ida girl's throat, and strangle her before throwing her body into the bog. His musings wouldn't be addressed by the scientific community for generations.
This phenomenon of mutilated bog bodies leaves us with more questions than answers.
In the case of the Ida girl, one theory is that she may have been killed because of her physical disabilities. CT scans performed on her remains showed that the girl suffered from scoliosis, an abnormal curve in her spine.
Additionally, her legs showed that she may have been pigeon-toed and that she had a misshapen foot that suggests she walked with a limp.
These physical deformities may have been seen as spiritually special. It is possible that the Ida girl was selected for human sacrifice.
But the Ida girl's hair offered another potential answer to the mystery. As we described earlier, one side of her head was shaved.
During medieval times, a woman whose hair was partially cut before she was killed meant that she was an unfaithful wife. Some experts, therefore, believe that the Ida girl's murder and bog burial was punishment for infidelity.
But it's also possible this haircut may have been caused naturally. If part of her head was exposed to oxygen for a longer period of time than the other, then the hair on the oxygen-exposed half of her head would naturally decay more quickly. Clearly, it's a complicated process when trying to explain what happened to these ancient people.
The mystery around the Ida girl raises as many questions as answers. But half a century after her discovery, a renowned scientist named Peter Wilhelm Glob would dedicate his life to trying to unlock the secrets that the bog bodies held.
What he found and did not find would only deepen the mysteries around bog bodies and change the course of scientific discovery afterward.
Coming up, our investigation continues as we discuss one of the most famous bodies pulled from the bogs, the Elling Woman.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Now, back to our story.
There is a long history in Northern Europe of ancient mummified corpses being found in bogs. These bog bodies often show signs of having met a grisly end. The most famous of these was found in Denmark in 1938.
That year, near Silkeborg in Denmark, a farmer was digging for peat when he uncovered human remains. Given that the front of the body was not especially well preserved, the farmer initially believed the body to be that of an animal that had drowned in the bog. It was only when he noticed the woolen belt around its waist that he realized he had found a human corpse.
It wasn't until the 1970s, over 30 years after the discovery, that it was determined that the body was a woman's. Dubbed the Elling Woman, radiocarbon dating indicated that she lived sometime between the 4th and 2nd centuries BCE. Examination of her body showed that she was about 25 years old at the time of her gruesome death.
A leather noose with a sliding knot was found with her body. Combine this with the V-shaped groove clearly visible on her neck, and it seems she was hanged. She wore two cloaks, one made of sheepskin and the other a blanket-like garment made of cowhide and wrapped around her legs.
One part of her body that was still intact was her elaborate braided and styled hair. It was intricately plaited into a 35-inch long braid and tied into a knot.
Some experts believe the complex hairstyle was done by her killer after her death, leading them to believe there was a ritual nature to her death.
However, the truth around her death remained evasive, even when 12 years later, another body was discovered only 300 feet away.
On a Saturday in May 1950, brothers Viggo and Emil Hogard, along with Viggo's wife, Greta, were cutting peat in a bog outside the bustling metropolis of Aarhus in Denmark. As their spades sliced into the peat, they discovered a body wearing only a leather belt and a cap made of sheepskin.
Similar to the Elling Woman, it was evident that the person had been hanged, as a leather noose was still around his neck when his body was found. Later analysis revealed the man's tongue was enlarged, confirming his death by hanging.
The Tolland Man, as the body came to be known, has been referred to as the perfect corpse, particularly because of the incredible condition of his head and face, which still sported chin stubble and eyelashes.
The brothers understandably assumed the man had just recently passed away and suspected murder.
They immediately called the police in nearby Silkeborg. When investigators arrived, they quickly determined that the body was found beneath over 6 feet of peat, and there were no signs of recent digging. The situation required a different kind of investigator. Famed Danish archaeologist Peter Wilhelm Glob arrived the next day.
Like many of the best-preserved bog bodies, the Tolland Man was found in a raised bog.
These areas are made of dome-shaped masses of peat moss that occupy former lakes or other shallow dips in the landscape. The poor drainage in these kinds of bogs leaves the ground more waterlogged, which helps to slow decay down even more.
An autopsy revealed the Tolland Man's internal organs were very much intact, including his brain. Archaeologists were even able to identify his last meal, some sort of gruel or porridge, allowing them to estimate that he lived between 400 and 300 BCE. Radiocarbon dating later confirmed this.
Though the Tolland man was violently killed, great care was taken in laying him in a restful position, like that of a sleeping child. Glob described the Tolland man as wearing a gentle expression, the eyes slightly closed, the lips softly pursed as if in silent prayer. The Tolland man maintained that gentle expression for over 2,000 years at the bottom of the bog as the world marched on above him.
After this investigation, Glob developed a lifelong obsession with the corpses that were pulled from bogs. He soon began investigating the various unearthed remains and was the first to note patterns among the corpses.
He'd find a new clue in April 1952 when another bog body was discovered in the town of Aarhus.
It was a typical morning for Tage Busk Sørensen. As in many of the other bog body discoveries, he set out to cut peat in the nearby bog. Instead, Tay's shovel accidentally struck the head of the Graubella man.
It wasn't long before investigators were on the scene. The Graubella man appeared to have died between 100 BCE and 100 CE. Before he was buried, he was stripped naked, and then his throat was cut, a typical fate experienced by bog people. That is how Glob preferred to refer to the corpses, as people, rather than bodies.
Glob extensively analyzed the Graubella man through X-ray and CT scans, which indicated that the adult man received a sharp hit to his legs that forced him to his knees. It appeared that the man's head was yanked back and his throat was brutally cut from ear to ear.
This bog person, who died in his 20s or early 30s, was clearly of low status.
The contents of his stomach and intestines showed that his final meal consisted of a porridge that contained over 60 different plants. This was a common meal for the poor during his lifetime.
However, his stomach also contained ergot. This is a fungus which typically grows on plants like rye. Of greater note, when consumed in large enough quantities, ergot can make someone delirious or put them in a coma. The Graubella man had ingested a considerable amount of this fungus.
Glob wondered if the bog person either unintentionally or knowingly consumed this hallucinogen. Was he left incapacitated before being stripped and killed? Some experts believe that the porridge he ate was laced with the hallucinogenic fungus.
It's unclear if it was intended to induce a trance-like state before a ritual that included his sacrifice, or he could have been unknowingly drugged before being murdered and thrown into the bog.
While the answers to these questions may seem unknowable, forensic archaeologists believed the answers could be in the Graubella man's hands, literally.
The bog body's hands were so incredibly well preserved in his bog grave that researchers were able to take his fingerprints. Given that his hands were not well worn, some researchers believe that he didn't engage in much manual labor.
The Graubella man had several other unique qualities, such as his full head of brilliant red hair.
Closer analysis showed that the hair was likely a darker color when the Graubella man was alive. Similar to the Ida girl found in 1897, it is believed that the bog changed it to its present color.
This bog body was also particularly special, as it was one of the few that actually contained bones. As we discussed earlier, while bogs are great at preserving bodies, they tend to eat away the skeleton.
But archaeologists were able to study the Graubella man's bone density, which revealed that he experienced some arrested growth. This was likely due to malnutrition in his youth.
His spine showed signs of degeneration. The body had slight osteoarthritis in the right knee, and an infection severely wore down his teeth.
Though the Gerbella man was one of the most complete bog bodies found in the 20th century, he was not the last.
The next discovery came a month after the Gerbella man in May 1952 in northern Germany. This body was dubbed the Windeby girl. However, this body was unevenly preserved in the bog it was discovered in.
After closer examination, researchers later realized that the Windeby girl was actually a boy aged 12 or 13. Now called Windeby 1, the child was likely placed in the bog in the first century CE.
When this bog body was initially discovered, it was found wearing a cap as well as a blindfold made of wool. It is now believed that the blindfold may have originally been a hairband that slipped down the face.
While the front of the body was not as well preserved as other bog bodies, the child's brain was completely intact.
Windeby 1 suffered from malnutrition, a common trait for bog bodies. However, unlike many others, he seems to have died of natural causes.
With the evidence he'd discovered examining Windeby 1, the Tolland man, and the Gerbella man, P.V. Glob soon began publishing his findings. In the process, he helped to shape the narrative and understanding around bog bodies.
Glob was the first to name the practice of overkilling, or the brutal mutilation of the bodies. He was also the first archaeologist to note the pattern that many bodies were buried naked.
To be clear, he wasn't the first person to observe these traits in uncovered corpses. He just gathered the disparate information from across the continent and compiled the data to illustrate the pattern.
Glob also played a major role in ensuring these bodies would remain preserved and displayed for future generations to study. Until he began studying the bog people, many uncovered corpses were stored deep in museum archives, far from the public eye. Commonly held attitudes were that there was something inherently distasteful, macabre even, in displaying human corpses for public viewing.
Besides prevailing attitudes that bog bodies should be kept out of sight, many museums did a poor job of storing these corpses. This was partially due to poor technology at the time, but many research facilities defaulted to destroying difficult-to-store soft tissue and only saving the most well-preserved portions of bog bodies for later study.
But Glob championed a new set of attitudes toward these bog people and the wealth of information they held. As he published more studies on his findings, he became something of a celebrity in the archaeological community. And in turn, he was able to exert this influence in order to have the Gerbella man displayed at the Prehistoric Museum in Aarhus in 1952.
This also incentivized museum directors to preserve entire bog bodies, not just partial corpses. A whole bog person makes for a more engaging display than a set of limbs, so museums now had more public pressure to store and properly maintain the bodies.
In Glob's time, museums tried to replicate the bog environment by periodically spraying the corpse with water and ensuring its display was kept cool. Danish museums also experimented with oak bark tanning, a process in which bodies such as the Gerbella man were soaked in water with oak pulp in order to leatherize the tissues.
Today, it's standard practice for bog bodies to be displayed to the public. Freeze-drying is now the preferred method for bog body preservation.
As technology advances, scientists can now examine whole bodies, not just those portions that 20th century museum curators decided were worth keeping. These benefits can be traced back to Glob and his efforts.
And Glob's successors have continued to find more answers and more questions regarding bog bodies. One of the biggest questions that still plagues scientists is, how were victims chosen to be killed and placed in bogs?
Any effort to determine a pattern soon falls apart. Bodies include adults, children, men, women, people who died naturally, and those who were killed.
Even socioeconomic class wasn't a factor. While some bog bodies were clearly of low social status, other discoveries suggested that bog bodies included the wealthy or even royalty.
Were some of history's earliest leaders subjected to the grisly fate of being killed and dumped in a bog?
Up next, we uncover the secrets of ancient royalty.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Now, back to our story.
Peat bogs served as the graves for hundreds of bodies found over the last several centuries. Because those bogs preserve corpses, modern archaeologists are able to unlock secrets about Iron Age murders or human sacrifices.
In 2003, the old Crawhan Man was found in a bog in County Offaly, Ireland. But he might better be described as the old Crawhan torso, as this was his only remaining body part.
Suspected to have died between 362 and 175 BCE while in his 20s, a study of his remains points to him having been an aristocrat of some sort. His typical diet was rich in meat, at that time a luxury food. He had well-manicured fingernails, and his hands showed little wear.
Though only a top portion of the old Crawhan Man was found, archaeologists were able to calculate his towering height at somewhere between 6'3" and 6'6".
His dismemberment indicated a few things. Sometimes, bog bodies are found ripped apart due to the circumstances of a corpse's discovery. Sharp implements used to dig up peat, including shovels, spades, and mechanical peat excavators, unintentionally chop bog bodies apart.
But the evidence suggests that the old Crawhan Man's dismemberment was no accident. There are signs that he was decapitated before burial.
Besides the bog body's mutilation, he was found wearing nothing except a leather band around his upper arm. The stripping of his clothes suggests that his killers, or those who buried him, held little regard for their victim.
Even his stomach contents point to disrespect in his final days. His final meal differed from his usual diet, as it consisted of a peasant meal of cereal.
Was he given this lesser food after being stripped of his elevated social status? Did he have this porridge in preparation for sacrifice to the gods? The contents of his stomach and the mutilation of his dismembered body tell an unclear story. Regardless of the truth, the old Crawhan Man is not the last bog body to be discovered in Ireland in recent years, nor is he the most high status.
Unearthed in 2011 in a bog in Cashel, Ireland, the bog body known as the Cashel Man is the oldest bog body ever discovered. Radiocarbon dating suggests he lived between 2000 and 1600 BCE, making him at least 300 years older than King Tut. Like Tut, some suspect the Cashel Man was also a king.
This theory comes from two unusual factors regarding his death. First, the site of his burial was right at the boundary between two nations at his time. In Iron Age Ireland, it was common for people to bury their royalty along borders. In the Cashel Man's case, his final resting spot was below the hill where he was believed to have been crowned.
The second piece of evidence pointing to the Cashel Man's royal heritage lays in the specific nature of his death. Like other bog bodies, he was stabbed and beaten. but his corpse shared a specific set of mutilations with other royal bodies. His nipples were sliced.
According to ancient Irish tradition, sucking a king's nipple was a way of showing submission to him. By removing his nipples, people would not be able to show him respect, and therefore, he could not remain the king.
This mutilation pointed to an intention to not only kill this man, but to also humiliate him.
Irish kings of that time were believed to receive power through a ritual marriage to a goddess. This union was meant to protect the people and the land. If some misfortune befell the king's people, it was believed that the marriage had failed.
Divorces in any era can be complicated affairs, but it seems for the Cashel man, the dissolving of his marriage to the protection deity could have led to his assassination.
Apparently, the Irish king was taken to the bog. There, he was attacked. A wound to his arm suggested that he may have tried to defend himself.
Most higher status individuals of his era were buried in caskets. Instead, the Cashel man, quite possibly a king, was brutalized and thrown into a bog. 4,000 years later, he was recovered, and his remains served as a key so scientists could unlock the secrets of his life and society.
As helpful as bog bodies are in unlocking these secrets, there are other artifacts found in bogs that offer a glimpse into the ancient past.
These discoveries included jewelry, farming tools, equipment used in battle, and, strangely enough, butter.
In fact, several bogs house this edible, wax-like food. The substance, made from dairy, usually cow's milk, is known as bog butter. One such vat of preserved butter was discovered as recently as 2014.
The 22-pound hunk of bog butter uncovered in County Meath, Ireland, was believed to be 2,000 years old. Other butters dated back as far as 5,000 years.
Andrew Zimmern, an archaeologist who has tasted bog butter found in Ireland and Scotland, described the flavor of the butter as having a lot of funk with a crazy, moldy finish.
In spite of the unfortunate taste and extremely pungent odor, apparently the bog butter was still safe to eat millennia later.
In past eras, butter served not only as a food, but also as a balm used for healing wounds and as a means to pay taxes. Kept in elaborate vats, this impeccably preserved butter provided some additional clues about ancient cultural practices.
These offerings were not entirely surprising, considering that bogs were considered sacred places. Many experts, P.V. Glob among them, hypothesized that the people of the Iron Age thought bogs were gateways to the spiritual world.
It was believed that, much like the weapons and vessels that were purposefully placed in the bogs, bog butter was meant as offerings to the gods.
But other scholars believe that people who put the butter in the bogs were simply preserving it for later.
That then led to the question, if the people of this era knew that a bog could preserve butter, would they also know that bogs could preserve human bodies, too?
Archaeologists such as Miranda Aldhouse Green, most recently of Cardiff University, concluded that the prehistoric people's common use of bogs to refrigerate their butter indicates that they were well aware of the bog's special properties.
But ultimately, there can be no absolute answers to thousand-year-old questions. Did ancient people use bogs as refrigerators, as ritual sites, or simply just as a good place to hide a body?
The answer is likely yes and no to each of those questions, depending on the time and place. Regardless, the legend of the bodies has inspired modern people and will probably continue to do so in the future.
In 1975, notable Irish poet Seamus Heaney saw pictures of several of the bog bodies. The photographs alone moved him to write a series of poems about the Bog people, including the Grabella Man.
Bog body expert Aldhouse Green described her own surprisingly emotional reaction when she worked with these aged and preserved corpses.
When Aldhouse Green was able to examine and even touch an incredibly well-preserved bog person, she developed an unusual sense of connection to her subjects.
And scientists aren't the only ones who can now get up close and personal with these ancient people. Earlier this episode, we discussed how bog body expert P.V. Glob pushed museums to display the remains for the public. He ensured that these corpses would remain well-preserved, while also granting ordinary people the opportunity to view the bodies.
Today, about 20 bog bodies are permanently on display in museums in Europe. In addition, some traveling exhibits featuring these remains have traveled to Canada.
In the second half of the 20th century, peat cutters became the unwitting guides to lost history. From Lindau Moss to Tolland to Graubella, everyday civilians made incredible findings.
However, in the modern era, peat is a less common fuel source. As a result, there is less peat cutting and fewer bog body discoveries. This has been amplified by the call from many environmental conservationists for the end of peat extraction due to the fragile nature of peat bog ecosystems.
While the occasional bog body does still turn up, as environmental and economic systems change, these discoveries will become rarer.
That makes it more important that scientists learn what they can from the bodies that have already been recovered.
These well-preserved bodies bear testament to ancient people's lives and deaths. But at the heart of all of our investigation is the question of why. Why the brutal torture and overkill? Why bury a body naked? Why stake the dead to the bottom of a bog?
Next episode, we'll explore whether the bog people were ordinary victims, if they were the victims of capital punishment, or if they died as part of a human sacrifice ritual.
We'll also discuss the religious and spiritual practices of Iron Age Europeans to try to unpack the implications of some of the most mysterious bog bodies.
With each answer comes more questions, especially as experts look to piece together ancient history. And each discovery spurs any number of additional explanations, which engulf these bodies much like their watery bog graves.
Thanks again for tuning in to Unexplained Mysteries. We will be back Thursday to unpack some of the questions we asked in this episode and explore new mysteries that arise from those explanations. We'll discuss possible theories about why people were killed and buried in bogs, how these people were chosen, and what we can discern about Iron Age religious beliefs and rituals from recovered bog bodies.
You can find all episodes of Unexplained Mysteries and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify.
Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals like Unexplained Mysteries for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker.
To stream Unexplained Mysteries on Spotify, just open the app and type Unexplained Mysteries in the search bar.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll see you next time.
See you next Thursday.
And remember, never take "we don't know" for an answer. Unexplained Mysteries was created by Max Cutler, is a production of Cutler Media, and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound designed by Anthony Valsic, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Kerry Murphy, Maggie Admire, and Travis Clark. This episode was written by Chandra Thomas and stars Molly Brandenburg and Richard Rossner.